USC, UCLA, Harvard, they all go test optional. Now what? If you're a parent of a class of 2021 teen, you're wondering, should they take the test? What if they can't take the test? Or you're thinking, the school went pass no pass in the spring, so now what? The writing is on the wall that this coming admission season will become more holistic than ever. And if you're a parent of a teen of a class of 22 or beyond, this is definitely the future. So what does that mean? It means this. Colleges will still want to see the quantifiable data whenever possible. Grades and rigor of curriculum and any testing that they might have, such as AP scores, or in this case this year, maybe SAT or ACT scores. This is known as your academic qualities, AQs. However, it is the PQs, the personal qualities, that will begin to play a bigger role. PQs answer questions like, who am I? What am I good at? What is cool or different about me? And what are my academic or career goals? Where are the PQs revealed, you ask? Well, you might have already guessed it. Through the college essays. Yep. And if you don't know by now, essays are my jam. And with that said, I thought I would give you an encore presentation of the 4 podcast episodes just about essays. Summer is my favorite time of year. Yes, I'm in Southern California, so it's sunny and lovely daily. But it's really my favorite time of year because of college essay boot camp. Rising seniors come every summer. They come to camp feeling nervous and hesitant of what they will write about. Often it's the parent who's enrolled them and they're feeling like they don't want to so much get up in the morning and do the work. So they're thinking though, am I interesting enough? What really makes me different or unique? Or what I tell them is, what is your coolness factor? But somehow, just in 5 days, these teens leave feeling confident, know that they are interesting, and proudly hold up their graduation sign with the words #5essaysdone or #6essaysdone. The huge smile on their face is enough to make me melt every single time. You see, the truth is, like this podcast, College Essay Bootcamp is not about getting admitted to college. It is about teens discovering who they are, what they love, and how they are different, and where they are headed. The destination is not university, but rather the destination is you. Destination University. If you have a rising senior, class of 2021, who is ready for the 5 days of work and reflection, for the result of 5 essays or more, then College Essay Bootcamp is definitely for you, actually for your teen, right? We currently have over 70 students already enrolled in the 2020 sessions, so please join us. You can go to my website, www.drcynthiacolon.com. That's DrCynthiaCol, like Larry, O-N like Nancy. And register today. All the camps this year will be held live stream via Zoom, so you can join from anywhere in the country. And oh, by the way, we've been Zooming for over a year now, before Zooming was cool. Even last summer, we had over 9 states represented. And here is what some parents had to say. I thought you might want to hear. So the first one is, she has 2 students, one graduated in 2020 and one who is going through the process again after graduating from high school a couple years ago. She says, my advice to parents, start early and partner with Dr. Colon. Thanks to her insights, structure, and gentle but firm interventions when needed, both my daughter and son nailed their essays, got done with time to spare, were accepted to their top choice schools, and were offered many academic scholarships. They both will be attending their dream schools this fall. And I was relieved of stress. That's Sadell. Essay camp saved my life. As a full-time working single parent of twins, the college app process loomed large, despite the excellent counseling my kids were getting at school. Enter essay camp. Shockingly, my twins wanted to go, and off they went. One came home with 4 essays and one with 5. All were excellent. I highly recommend essay camp. It made life so much easier, and my kids' apps, total of 24, were out the door by mid-October. All early. It made for a very calm holiday season, especially as acceptances started rolling in before Thanksgiving. That's Melissa, parent of twins. Oh, I still remember those kids. There was a girl and a boy, and so they were quite different, but it was great. A joy to work with them. Okay, here's the third note from a parent. Dr. Colon's Essay Bootcamp and Destination University podcast have been life-saving for my son and me. With the typical senior year looming, SAT prep, a part-time job, full-time dual credit, and intense robotics season, applying to colleges seemed overwhelming. Dr. Colon not only streamlined the essay writing process, but also helped him understand how to relate his story in every essay. It is a skill I did not know how to convey to my homeschooled son. Now he has been admitted to all his top choices and is knocking out scholarship essays with the same techniques. Thanks, Dr. Colon. That's Erica and her son. They are from Texas. Oh, my goodness. So amazing. So the bottom line is this. There are these encore episodes that I'm going to share. There are 4, and they are with the 4 foundational essay types that we teach in class. The who am I question, the what am I good at, what is something cool about me, and what is my future academic or career goals. So I hope that you enjoy all these episodes. And more than that, again, if you have a rising senior, we hope to see you in College Essay Bootcamp. Go to my website and register today. Enjoy. And as for me, I'm off to camp today. Bye for now.
There is no guarantee for success, but there are ways to get closer to it when you do the right things. Who you surround yourself with is just as important as what you do. Finding the right people, the right classes, the right activities, and taking the right tests are all decisions that shape your future. Find out more today on Destination University with Dr. Cynthia Colon. Dr. Colon and her guests will give you the tips you need, whether you're a student, parent, or educator. Now, here is your host, Dr. Cynthia Colon.
My heart jumps as the guitar solo kicks in. Glowing a fluorescent blue, "La" stretches across the screen, preceded by a flash of black and white photographs. Order follows, lit by a luminous red, my mind all the while salivating, thirsty for my favorite television show, Law and Order, to open its doors and reveal the awaiting crime. While Law and Order presents a fictionalized world of crime and justice, the show is a tunnel into the criminal science and law, an area I would love to pursue, both academically as well as professionally. Boston University holds the key to turn that world into reality. Boston University offers me an endless number of outlets and opportunities to achieve my academic goals in criminal justice and law. Under the umbrella of political science, such courses as the legislative process in America will allow me to explore a more traditional field of law. Classes including psychology of criminal justice will open sociology's doors, allowing me to concentrate my studies even further. Last spring, I traveled to the Boston area for the first time. Immediately, I was drawn to the city's continuous buzz of college students, public transportation, and cannolis. The unique merge of a university and this electric city can be achieved only at an institution such as BU. As a lifelong resident of Los Angeles, I crave an urban atmosphere simmering with cultural enrichment and possibilities. Boston's recipe of metropolitan spice and small-scale ambiance is exclusive to the city. I look forward to the opportunity to grow and contribute to the BU community and the city in which it is an integral part. Well, hello, everyone. I'm your host, Dr. Cynthia Colon, author of the book Tips, Tales, and Truths for Teens. Welcome to Destination University. We help college-bound teens write compelling essays that increase acceptance letters. We do this through online or live group classes and private counseling. Consider me your step-by-step admissions coach and cheerleader. By being here today, you are helping to grow the community of informed families across the nation. Thank you for joining the movement. Okay, can't you just picture the opening credits of Law & Order? This essay is not about Law & Order, but it hooks you in immediately, giving you an image that's tattooed on your brain, taking you to the very time that you watched an episode of Law & Order. And let's face it, who hasn't watched at least one episode? All right, everyone. So we've come to part five of a five-part mini-series about the college essay types. So if you've listened to the previous four episodes, you know the four essay types that I believe every college-bound teen needs in their arsenal of essays. When I work with private clients, I call this their foundational essays. So the who am I question, the what am I good at, something super cool about me, and the future connection essay. So those are the essays we talked about in the previous four episodes. And if you haven't listened, I definitely recommend, I believe it's episodes 32 through 35, and now today we're on episode 36. So today, we are going to talk about the supplemental questions. I'm telling you, I've been working with some of my campers from the summer over the last several weeks on just this topic, supplemental essays. And I'm telling you, those pesky little suckers, they will suck the living lifeblood out, right out of you, if you let them. Because they're frustrating, right? Like, just when you think you're done with your college application, and all the thinking and the brain power that went into writing these essays that are just so, you know, wonderful about you and revealing stories, you're not done. Oh, you have two more essays to write. Oh, you have four more essays to write, depending on how many schools you're applying to. And if you're applying early, God bless you all, because, you know, that's right around the corner. So I call them pesky supplemental essays because they just are a thorn in your side. But this is my point. My point is, if you have a base of essays, a foundational of essays in your arsenal, then you can begin to figure out where and how to use and repurpose these essays for your supplements. So what do I mean by that? I can think of just a few kids off the top of my head right now that I, like I said, I've been working with. And so I have a kid, I talk about spearfishing. I've never had a kid write about spearfishing. And then this summer I had two kids who wrote about it. So one of the students wrote about spearfishing in one of his foundational essays from the summer, but then actually repurposed it to talk about wanting to go to business school. How, you say? Like, how does that happen? Well, he just did a brilliant job. I think it's going in my sample essays for next year. But he did a brilliant job of talking about spearfishing and sort of catching, you know, dinner and cooking and what his father talked about, father taught him in terms of cooking. And then he wove that into a dream, a possibility of him wanting to start a restaurant. And in order to do that, he needs to go to business school. So it was so perfectly woven in that you just didn't even realize that he just smacked you with it. It was like, it was a great, you know, way, kind of like this Law and Order. Like, she brings you in through her imagery of the Law and Order, the illuminescent words across the screen. So he does the same thing. He hooks you in with the spearfishing, but then it really is about wanting to go to business school. So I thought it was pretty cool that he was able to do that. I had another student who actually was thinking he needed to write a new essay. And the essay was really about how will you create community in the dorms or, you know, and on our college campus, something like that. And we talked about one of his essays that he had already written and didn't have a space for it, but liked it. It's about his family sort of watching a game show as a tradition in their family, just, you know, having fun, sort of just it was a really cute and simple description of his family and family life. And I said, you know, you could use that. That's a way that you create community. You create community in your home over this family tradition. And why don't you take that and same thing and sort of apply it to this question? So anyway, he loved the connection and he repurposed it in a jiffy. Another student writes about living near a border town, her life, you know, living near a border town. And so she can repurpose that to talk about or answer the questions that have to do with diversity and community at some of the colleges that she's applying to. So anyway, my point is, I've done the math for you. This process takes hours off of your life. I have kind of guesstimated at 40 to 70 hours that it will take a student to complete 8 to 12 applications. And if I'm being really honest, I think the 40 hours is a bit conservative, because just the writing of the essay alone can take, you know, hours. It can take at least 10 to 15 of those hours easily. So with that said, those who know me well know this about me. If nothing else, I am a master of my minutes. I am efficient with time, and those who take my essay camps or workshops realize I mean business. And I don't mean this in a bad way, but I am simply super and hyper conscious that there are only so many hours in a day. And one student told me this past summer that she'd spent nearly 10 hours thinking, drafting, and finally penning her personal statement. And then she took my camp, and after 16 hours of camp, she wrote 7 essays. And then replaced her original personal statement. She was so pleased with the 7 that she wrote. So, you know, recently I've done the 90-minute essay workshops for those who could not take the essay camp over the summer. There's so many students who still need to write their essays now. So I'm offering a 90-minute essay workshop. And someone who completed it recently said that in 90 minutes, like, she decided to completely change the direction of her personal statement. And just last night, we were on a call, and I had the opportunity to read her draft. And oh my goodness, I love, love, love the direction she took, and was definitely a needed change for her personal statement. Definitely going to use that in the sample essay packet next year. It's a perfect Who Am I essay, laced with real and raw pieces of her life. But it also, like, completely screams, I'm a teenager and I live a regular teenage life. And those are some of my favorite essays that just really have that authentic teenage voice. So, and anyway, speaking of, I do invite any and all of you who have not, that I've not been able to work with so far, but you still need your essays done. The essay workshop is available now. It's on the homepage of my website, drcynthiacoulon.com. And it's pretty easy to find. So go right there. It's right there. The big, I think it's a blue button. But I'm telling you, teenagers will be more productive in 90 minutes with me as their coach and their guide than they would be otherwise with 9 hours on their own. And I don't say this lightly, and I don't say to be, you know, I say it because I really do mean it. And I think that anyone needs a coach. And I certainly need coaches in my life for different things in my life as well. Okay. So here is the big thing today that we're doing. We are going to not only talk about supplemental essays, and I'll give you some examples as I have been doing, including the one that I just read a few minutes ago, but we're going to also go over the common application, because the supplemental essays really come with a common application. So I just thought it would be best if I talk to you about what's on the common application, how do I suggest people go about it, and give you my own tips on the common application. So I hope that's okay with you, that I'm going a little off track with the not just talking about the essays, but also giving you tips about the common application. And oh, as a reminder, the essay that I read is in that 10 sample essays packet that you can download for free on the homepage of my website, Dr. Cynthia Colon. It's labeled Stop Procrastinating, number one. And number two, it's actually, I think, essay number 11 in that packet. It's the bonus essay type, the supplemental essay. So that's the one I just read. But if you haven't read the other 10, oh my goodness, they're all fantastic. Okay, so let's, like I said, I am going to get right to it. We're going to start by talking about the common application. So if you don't mind, let me tell you what's happening. So first of all, the common application, if you don't know what the common application is, or you're listening and you're an eighth grade mom or a preteen, and you're thinking, what is that? The common application is one application that students can complete and submit to literally hundreds of colleges. And I don't recommend that, but it's got over 800 colleges listed that have signed up. So you can use that for one thing. Okay. So it's important that I talk about it to my listeners because you might be right in the midst of completing the Common Application and want these tips for yourself. So let me give you my first five truths about this admission process. And many of you know that I like to always start with the state of admissions. You know, I always talk about Houston, we have a problem. Yes, you're not crazy. There are more students applying to college than there were back when and you're probably my age-ish, when we applied. So 68% versus 60% are applying to colleges. So almost, and there's more students, by the way. So almost 40% more students are applying for the same number of spots. So in other words, USC or UCLA or Rice or Northwestern or Duke or Georgetown, Harvard, Yale, Stanford, they haven't necessarily increased the number of freshmen they admit, meaning or the freshmen that they want to have in their freshman class. They just have more applicants vying for the same number of slots. I'm sorry, did I say that? I said that wrong. I said the wrong. They have an increased number of applicants vying for the same number of slots that were vying for the same number of slots 20 years ago. So the other thing that you should know is that there are nearly 300 colleges that admit fewer than 50% of their applicant pool. And all of the Ivy League schools, plus Stanford, Duke, and Georgetown, admit less than 15%, but I believe all of them now are at less than 10% admissions rate. So it's a pretty small number. And then I know we're not talking about UCs today, we're talking about common application, but just as an FYI, those of you who are in California, 5 of the 9 UC campuses have over 80,000 freshman applicants. So that does not include their transfer applicants. Okay. So let's talk about the common application for just a second specifically. So there's 885 colleges and universities listed on this one application. 72 of them are international colleges. 171 of them are test optional institutions, which I've talked about on another podcast as well, test optional schools, meaning you don't have to submit your test scores. In other words, it's your choice. And then 395 colleges on the Common App do not charge a fee to apply. Let me repeat that for the parents who are listening. Okay, 395 colleges listed on the Common App. There is no fee to submit your application. So I love that feature. Okay, truth number two. Your AQs get your foot in the door and your PQs get you admitted. If you have not heard me say AQs, it stands for academic qualities, which includes your GPA, your test scores, and the rigor of your curriculum. And if your school ranks, your school ranking. Those are your numbers, your stats. That just gets you a ticket to the dance. That just gets you in your foot in the door. It's really the PQs, the personal qualities, things that your context, your background, your list of activities, what people say about you and their letters of recommendation, all of those things that make up who you are found in the written part of your application, which for you means your college essays. Okay? So your PQs are revealed through your essays. And that's the truth. You know, you get some information, obviously, the resume and that kind of thing, but it's really the essays. Truth number three, in the common application, you've got the activity section, and you've got 10 spaces for activities and 5 spaces to list your honors. That's it. You have 15 slots. You get 150 characters for your activities and 100 characters for your honors. So you have very limited space. Truth number four, you've got your written word, as I sort of was alluding to. You've got your essays plus your supplements when it comes to the common application, okay? So I talk about the UC application, the University of California application, quite a bit, obviously because I live here and many of my listeners I know are applying to the UCs. So there are 4 essays in the UC system, the UC application, that add up 350 words each. With the common application, you have a personal statement at 650 words maximum, plus the supplements that each of the individual colleges require. Not all of them require, by the way, but many of them do. So truth number five is the best applications are like a symphony, that when I pull everything together and I read everything in your application, there are different pieces of you revealed in each piece. So every letter of recommendation, the resume section, the honors section, your transcript section, and your essays, each of your essays should, like an orchestra, like a symphony, reveal something new, a little bit, a new layer about you. Those are the best applications, okay? So here are my 5 tips that I recently gave in a presentation to the ladies at Our Lady of Peace in San Diego. So here are my 5 tips for the common application. These are practical tips. Tip number 1, decide what's most important. Decide what's most important. So as a college-bound teen, you need to think, okay, who am I right now and what's important to me right now? Not what was important to me when I was 8 or 10 or 12 years old, but what's important to you right now. Then you've got to decide sort of where does that all fit in? So if you follow, you know, sort of the way my philosophy, again, I believe in making sure that you have an answer to who am I, what am I good at, what's something super cool about me, and something that ties your future career path or desire or major. So I call that the future connection essay. So if you have all of those pieces and you know these are the things I want to convey in my application, then you have to figure out where is it all going to fit? Where does it all go? And again, with the common application, you've got the personal statement, you've got the resume, which includes activities and honors. You have a supplemental questions, which for some schools there are none. And then some schools there are like 4 or possibly more. And then your letters of recommendation. So you have to sort of figure that out. And then if you work with me, you know, so privately or even in the camps, I often talk to your teachers, figure out what they're going to say in their pieces and have a good conversation so that you give them a good idea and you know that in their letter, they're going to reveal something a little bit new about you. Okay. Tip number 2, use the extra space when applicable. So if you really can't fit everything, there is an additional information section in the common application that allows you to submit an additional 650 words maximum. So this section is found in the writing section of the common application, okay? An additional 650 words. You don't have to submit anything, but you can, is my point. Tip number 3. You'll want to use power words in your resume section and your honor section as well, too. But this is no time to be humble in, you know, screaming at the roof, on top of the roof, like how awesome you are, okay? It's no time to be humble. So you want to use power words. And what I did was I just literally Googled power words for a resume, something like that. I have a few samples, but anyway, I think I just Googled power words for a resume. And so words like developed, planned, studied, selected, collaborated, coordinated, collected, performed, processed, produced, completed, assembled. Oh, these are some good words. I'm just looking here at a little sample, and there's some good words. Strategized. Okay. All right. Awesome. So those, using some power words, you want to give solid examples in your resume section. So 150 characters is not a lot, and it goes by very quickly. So I'm going to give you an example, as I like to do. I like to give you examples, and this example is 146 characters, and so then I'm going to ask you to think about how could you improve it, okay? So this says, the title would be, or the lead piece would say, blood drive coordinator, okay? That's it. And then the 146 characters is for you to explain sort of what that is, or, you know. So here it is. I ran the blood drive each year for 3 years. I worked with the Red Cross and school administration and had 100 participants in the last drive. Okay, I'll read it one more time. It's 146 characters. I ran the blood drive each year for 3 years. I worked with the Red Cross and school administration and had 100 participants in the last drive. Okay, so I'm stalling a second to see, you know, what you're thinking. Okay, what are some power words that you can add? How could you improve this? Etc. So I'll give you some clues and then I'll read you the new example. First of all, you don't have to treat this as needing to write full sentences. You can abbreviate, you can sort of write as in like bullet points. And my other tip is you do not need to reuse the very words that you put in the actual title. So the title here was blood drive coordinator. I'm going to give you the example and then you're going to say, you just used that word, but I'll explain. Okay. So I've stalled enough. Maybe you've thought about how you want to improve this, but here's what I wrote, led the biannual student blood drive, increased participation by 300% over the span of 6 events, collaborated with school admin and Red Cross. Okay, that's 145 characters. We still have 5 characters if we wanted to use them, but that's 145 characters. So right away, I'm just going to say, because you can't see my screen, but led the biannual, now I know it happens twice a year. The next sentence, or bullet kind of, says increased participation by 300%. Okay. And then it says over the span of 6 events. So 6 events tells me twice a year, that's 3 years, and increased participation by 300%. Now in the previous write-up, it says that the last event had 100 participants. So now, because I see both versions, I know I can infer that the first year they might have had about 30 students, or donors, and then eventually increased by 300% to get to 100, so 32 to 33 participants in the first year. But increasing participation by 300% sounds impressive and sounds a little bit better than I had 100 participants. Now, don't get me wrong, 100 donors is a big deal as well. Okay, so I just tightened it up a bit, meaning using power words and really just getting to the point. So you don't have to say, I did this, I did that. Take that out. Those are just extra characters. Okay. All right. In your honors section, it asks you, how many would you like to report? And you can list up to 5. And then you have to say your honors title, the grade level, and then the level of recognition. And here are your choices: school, state or regional, national, international. So I just want to draw your attention to, when you have only 5 spaces for your honors, to list your honors. If you have more than five, the big tip is you want to lead with the ones that have the highest level of recognition. So if you have some kind of international or national recognition, you definitely want to include those. The ones that are school, like just local based, would be the last to add. You don't need to add honor roll if you also have a national honor. Okay, so if you don't mind, I'm actually going to skip to tip number five, because tip number four is about the supplemental questions, and I'm going to spend a lot of time there. So tip number five is to apply to a range of colleges. I know this is like, duh, of course, Dr. C, apply to a range of colleges. Again, I do not want what happened to Sage to happen to you. Sage is episode number 17, the famous 17. So you want to apply to a range and make sure that your goal is to have more yeses than nos. Your goal is to maximize your choices. So just keep in mind that college is a match to be made, not a prize to be won. So really take a look. With over 800 colleges listed in the Common Application, there are plenty of colleges for you to click and that match the things that you're looking for. Okay. So, all right, I won't go on, because I'll get on a soapbox here, and I don't want to do that. Okay, so let's talk about supplemental questions. So yes, I do say that they are a little bit pesky, and they're a thorn in my side when I'm, are not my side, they're a thorn in your side. But I do see this as an opportunity for students to reveal a little bit more about their personality and a little bit more go into depth about something that they really love and enjoy that isn't really found somewhere else in their application, or they couldn't fit the kitchen sink in their personal statement. And by the way, you shouldn't. So the supplemental questions allow for some you to be able to expand on who you are. So my tip number four, I know I went a little backwards. Tip number four is to do your homework when it comes to supplemental questions. And what I have found is I have categorized the supplemental questions into sort of five different categories. They are typically asking the why us question, right? The why us question, the why this major question, personality questions, a diversity question, or they're asking special circumstances or additional information, okay? So they tend to fall into one of these five buckets. So the why us question, I'm doing the homework, doing a little bit of homework for you. I'm going to tell you what you should do. The why us question is all about them. It's all about the college plus you. So you want to do some homework, meaning go to the website, understand what their mission and values is. If you do nothing else, spend 3 minutes looking up the mission and values of the college you're applying to. If they're asking, why do you want to come to this college? They're asking, did you do your homework? Do you even know why? Are you just applying to Yale because it's Yale? Like, they don't want people who want to just go just for the namesake. So why us is about all about them and how you fit into that. So do some research about them and then figure out what parts of you are related to what they value most. Why this major? Okay. Why this major is a question that's asking about you in relation to them. So it's flipped. Okay. So you want to think about, what do I want to do? What is it that I want to study, do? What's my career path? And how does this college, this department, fit in with my plan? Okay, so you're the front runner here. It's all about you and how they fit in with your plan. The why us is all about them and how you fit in to their plan. Personality questions. Personality questions, some of you might be familiar with the Stanford questions supplements are about. I'm going to do a couple of samples so you'll see. And then the other school that I love has personality questions is Chapman. So anyway, personality questions are all about you. Don't overthink this. It's just they want to get to know you. The diversity question is all about them and how you fit into what they value. And I'll give you some examples of the diversity question as well. And then finally, the special circumstances and additional information is all about you. So that's things that you want to reveal that you weren't able to do so somewhere else. Okay. All right. So let's give you some examples. And I will go over the one that I led the podcast with. But here is the why us. And I pulled, this is a student of mine from a couple of years ago, but I've changed some of the names to protect the innocent. So this was something she wrote. Please tell us what you value most about Columbia and why. So that's the why us question. So I'll read a few sentences. She says, Mr. Kellner is the best ambassador for Columbia at my school. He's made history class vibrant. I learned about the Industrial Revolution through Turner's paintings, post-World War II America analyzing a supermarket in California, and the myth of the happy slave through Zippity-Doo-Dah. After seeing a Duchamp exhibit in Philadelphia, I rushed to show him my picture with nude descending a staircase. Before I went to Egypt, he gave me a preview of the Egyptian Museum. Mr. Kellner is the best teacher I've ever had, not because I love history, but because he expanded my curiosity and invited me to look for deeper meaning in everything. Anyway, she goes on a little bit, and then she says, I honestly believe that Mr. Kellner is amazing because of his Columbia education. I truly value Columbia's spirit of intellectual curiosity, open-mindedness, and creativity cultivated by the core curriculum. Not only will I learn about art, music, science, and literature, but I'll also form intellectual connections with my classmates and generations of Columbia alumni. And then she goes on. She herself says, I'm a math and science person, and I've kept humanities in my schedule all 4 years, blah, blah, blah. So Columbia's curriculum perfectly reflects the vibrant teachings and intellectual connections I have come to value through Mr. Kellner. First of all, it's a different teacher's name. Mr. Kellner, by the way, is Jonas Kellner, my very good friend who I met at Columbia. So I just thought I would say Kellner there in lieu of the teacher's name that she had there. Okay, first of all, this is a personal connection. Right away, she draws the reader in because she's not saying, you know, Columbia is in a big city in New York City or it's an Ivy League school, which, you know, a lot of people, honestly, that's what they write. She's making a personal connection with someone that she has as a teacher, and then she draws in. So if you know Columbia, many will not. They do have this core curriculum, and that's what they're known for. It's very opposite to the other Ivy League, Brown University, which has a very open curriculum, and doesn't have any core curriculum at all. So they're completely opposite. So often, if a student of mine has Brown and Columbia on their list, I'll really probe them and ask them why, because they're not the same. So this student is really making the connection that she understands the kind of curriculum they have. It jives with what she loves and values most. And she's come to really understand what kind of intellectual curiosity of a person she'll become because Mr. Kellner has modeled that for her, and she believes it's because of his education from Columbia. Okay, wow, I went on much longer than I expected to with that essay, but there you have it. I mean, I think that there's a lot there for you to see why it works. Okay, so the next example I have is the one I read at the beginning. So this is the why this major. So this one is why this major and why this university, all wrapped into one. And the essay I read about law and order, do you remember it now? Oh, I love this. Glowing a fluorescent blue law stretches across the screen, preceded by a flash of black and white photographs. Order follows, lit by a luminous red, my mind all the while salivating, thirsty for my favorite television show. Okay, so why does this work? First of all, this is about her. Why this major, remember I said, is all about you plus them. So she first describes what she's looking for. She's looking for, you know, crime and justice, criminology, and I can't remember exactly what the major is called at BU, but she she probably uses this first part of her essay for other schools. So she's got this down of why she's attracted to criminal justice, why this is going to be part of her future, why she got interested in it. So this first two paragraphs that she wrote is probably something that she has been able to repurpose and repurpose again and again. Then the very last paragraph, she says, last spring, I traveled to the Boston area for the first time. Okay, cool. Immediately, I was drawn to the city's continuous buzz of college students, public transportation, and cannolis. So she makes a personal connection there, because everybody can, even if you haven't visited Boston, you'll know there's a lot of college students and public transportation. It's a big city, blah, blah, blah. So she personalizes it by saying, I went to Boston and I saw it and I fell in love for this type of city and institution. So the last paragraph really just personalizes it to why she's decided that BU might be a good fit. Not only does it have the right major for her, but also it has the right vibe and, you know, environment for her to grow. Okay. So simple, but again, she repurposes, I'm sure, that first two paragraphs, and that's saving you time. Okay. Personality questions. So, students know about, if you're applying to Stanford, you know about the future roomie question. And so it says, write a note to your future roommate that reveals something about you or that will help your roommate and help us know you better. So she says, dear future roomie, do you like nachos? Because I do. I like everything on my nachos, except beans, for obvious reasons. When we are staying up late studying, you have to be prepared to make a trip downtown to Taqueria El Camino. Ah, my mouth is just watering just thinking about it. One thing you must know about me is constant craving for delicious foods and snacks. Yes, I'm a foodie. Yes, it might not be healthy. Yes, your stomach will always be full. And yes, it's definitely worth it. I know the ins and outs and... oh, don't forget, in and out of Palo Alto's best places to eat. And I want to make sure you get to try all of them. My cravings vary from the amazing Indian Pakistani restaurant called Zareen's on Cal Avenue to a small ice cream shop called Scoops on University Avenue. Anyway, she goes on. So you get the impression, or you get, you know, not the impression, you get to know, understand that this student is a foodie and loves nachos, but not beans for obvious reasons. I love this like sort of personality that she sprinkles in here. And you also understand that she's A, from California, because she refers to In-N-Out Burger, and B, she's from the local area because she's talking about specific places in Palo Alto that she's familiar with already. Okay, so lots of goodness sprinkled throughout that in just, well, this is a maximum of 250 words. I didn't count the words before now, so I don't know, but it looks like a good 200 words that she wrote. And you do get a sense of her personality. There's nothing extra to think about. Don't overthink the personality questions. They really are just a way for you to be a real teenager and fun and really just have us get to know you better. So the Chapman personality questions, there are a number of, like, it says to answer with one word or one phrase. So I took this from a student of mine from this summer because I just thought when he was getting started, I thought, oh, gosh, this is pretty cool. So Chapman's, I'll give you four quick takes. So they say, name one dish you would cook for our admissions team. I, first of all, love this question. Chapman, shout out to Chapman. Marcela Martinez, Mejia Martinez, I love you and I love these questions. Okay. Name one dish you would cook for our admission team. His answer, some killer bean and cheese burrito. Number two, it's actually number four on the list. What is the top thing on your bucket list? His answer, live long enough to meet aliens. Number five, but number three here for this example. What is your most prized possession? Love this one too. He answers, my baseball glove. And number six, what makes you happy? I think there are like 12 questions, by the way, for Chapman, if I'm not mistaken. But his answer is making other people smile. Okay. So I remember him. He was one of the campers. And when we had some extra time to work on extra things at the end of the day, I said, well, why don't you work on some supplements? And I just said, you know, for these, just boom, what comes first comes to your mind, boom, pop them out. Don't overthink. Don't spend too much time. So I loved his answers for that. All right. So, oh, by the way, here's another little quick tip. I used to tell my students at Marymount High School when I worked there, I said, you don't study as long for a quiz as you would for a test, right? That just doesn't make sense. You don't put in that much time for a quiz that you would put in for a test. And so that's my answer here too. For these personality questions, it really is like, don't overthink this. Don't spend too much time. Just move it along. Okay. So what I wanted to do for the diversity question, because it's pretty personal and I don't have examples that I want to share, at least today, but I'm going to give you some questions that I found that I'll share with you. Okay, so let me, Chapman is one. And there's another one. Okay, I'm just going through. Okay. So here are three examples of diversity questions. And this first one comes from University of San Diego. University of San Diego says to choose one of these essays as your supplement in 200 and then answer them in 200 words. So option two says this. Here at USD, we believe that our campus community and the communities we engage with are integral parts of who we are as a university. Our students come from all walks of life, have experienced very different realities, and bring with them an array of unique perspectives. Some of these perspectives are underrepresented and underserved by higher education. What contribution have you made to your high school and or local community that best exemplifies your awareness and commitment to creating a diverse and equitable community? Ooh, that was a mouthful. Okay, so you see, they go out of their way this is a long question, and they're going out of their way really to give you hints and clues as to what they mean by this. And so remember I said the diversity question is about them and what they value and then how you fit in with that value system. Okay. So let me give you another one. Here is one from Villanova University. Villanova, which is in Pennsylvania. Here it is. We believe that all members of our community should be committed to diversity, equity, and inclusion. How would you contribute to this at Villanova? Okay, first of all, love that it's terse and quick and short. But second, it's to the point. It basically, they are saying, we believe that all members of our community should be committed to diversity, equity, and inclusion. So right away, honestly, if you don't believe that, this is not an institution you should be applying to. I'm just going to say the truth. Okay, so if you don't believe in this commitment, don't apply to Villanova. And I love that they just put it out there. This is who we are. This is what we're about. And how are you going to contribute to that? Again, it's all about them plus how you fit in with that value system. I'm going to give you one more example. I have a lot on this list. Okay. Chapman, to go back to Chapman. I love their quick takes, as I gave you an example just a second ago. But, the Chapman supplement, I think you can choose one of the two here. And I'm going to just read one of them because they're both kind of long. So I'm going to read one of them to give you an example. The Chapman Diversity Project is a campus-wide initiative with 8 different advisory groups. These groups identify, recommend, and support creative strategies for promoting and enhancing our campus community. They also respond to any issues, needs, and concerns identified by our campus. suggest an advisory group or select one of the existing groups below and share how you would contribute to the advancement of our campus community. Okay, again, this is a mouthful, but I love that they give you basically the answers for you. They are giving you everything right here for you. So if you don't do your homework, that's on you. But it's right here. So when I clicked on the the thing that says, you know, the advisory committees below, it says here are the groups, advisory groups: disability and accessibility, faith, spirituality, and secularism. Can't say that. LGBTQIA plus communities, military affiliates, people of color, socioeconomic stratification, women, and international communities. Okay, so those are the, did I say eight? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yes, yes, and they said 8. Duh. Okay, so that's their diversity question. So those are just three examples to give you to understand that if you have something in your arsenal of foundational essays, sometimes this comes in the who am I question, sometimes it comes in the form of like the what am I good at, something like that. But just know that some of the colleges are asking about that. And I imagine it has a lot to do with sort of what's been happening in our world, in our community, different shootings and bullying and just, you know, intolerance. So it's probably good for them to know a little bit about you and what you believe in. And it's good for you to know what they believe in as well. Okay, so I am shocked because this episode has been longer than the others, and Elvis has not made a peep. I don't think you've heard him. He sits here, right here with me. And actually, that's the trick with Elvis. If he can hear the sound of my voice, he's sort of like at peace. I don't know. He's almost like a little newborn baby, but he's not. By the way, he's 9, my little pumpkin. Anyway, he's 9 and a half. His birthday is Pi Day, March 14th. So, okay, there you have it. I'm so glad that I was able to give you some examples of supplemental questions. But more than that, I'm super happy that we were able to dissect the common application, which so many of you will use. So hopefully you will download this episode and then go back to it again and again. So please feel free to do that. So I also just want to invite you to my essay workshop. If you have not taken my essay camp, which obviously many of you haven't, and you're still working on your essays, even if you're already working on your essays and think that they're in good shape, I dare say that it's worth the small investment to get some guidance and advice and some real samples. The templates and the document that I've put together has over 50 sample essays, and I walk you through my exercise that has been working for hundreds and hundreds of students, and of course for resulting in thousands of essays, which is fantastic. So happy to do it. You know by now that the college admission essay is really what I do best. I love all things college football, especially. I love the season. But the college essay is my niche and my jam, my thing. It's the thing that I just, I could do, you know, all the time. So anyway, I invite you again for my essay workshop. It's right there on my homepage, the button that will take you there. Dr. Cynthia Colon, that's drcynthiacolon.com. That's the homepage, and you'll find everything you need there. I also just want to say that I did a live workshop in October, just a few weeks ago, and the students there, again, I have to give a shout out to the one who said, oh my gosh, I changed my entire Common App personal statement. Another one said, thank you so much for giving us a structure and a way to think about how to do this. Another one talked about the exercise we do, which is called the what, why memory, and really understanding, instead of just staring at the computer and waiting for a light bulb to come on or a light bolt to hit you, I help students by giving them a real structure and helping them figure out why it is they are choosing the topic. Most teenagers know what topic they want to write about. That's kind of the easy part, figuring that out. It's what am I going to say? And without a a map or a direction of where you're headed, students just start writing and they go on many, many different tangents, which is just never a good idea for your reader. Okay? So anyway, stop staring at the computer, stop procrastinating, and let me guide you. I promise what you will complete in 90 minutes is way more efficient than what you can do on your own, because anything worth doing and worth putting in the effort needs a guide and a coach. So you deserve this. You deserve to increase your success rate. So that is what I have to say to you. Okay. Here we are at the end. And what I want to say is this. I'm so excited. Next week, episode 37, I'm going to give you my candid review of 8 colleges that I think you should consider adding to your list of colleges. Remember, my goal is to help you maximize your choices, make sure you have a lot of good yeses that you're happy with. And these 8 schools are just ones that I just love, adore, and just think that you should consider maybe adding 1 or 2 to your list. And as a little bonus, I will give you the story of when I traveled to Notre Dame as a guest of Notre Dame, but I insisted on wearing cardinal and gold for obvious reasons, but I won't go into now. I'm going to tell you the whole story, and oh my word, like, I'm appalled at myself. I was 20-something when I decided to do this, and just remembering the incident right now, it just gives me, I'm just appalled at myself that I did it. So wait till you hear why I was there to begin with and the story that happened, the incident that happened as a result of that. So, okay, that is all I have for you today, my friends. Thank you for tuning in to Destination University. I'm Cynthia Colon. If this episode has in any way helped, fueled, or inspired you, please share this episode with 3 people in the next 30 minutes. In the next 30 minutes. So if you have not binge listened to the first season or even to the season from the summer, I really encourage you to do that. And of course, if you're right in the midst of writing your college essays, I highly recommend this series, episodes 32 all the way to this episode 36. Each of them are just riddled with great tips and really good essay samples for you. Okay. But of course, nothing better than just actually taking my essay workshop, which is found on the homepage, the button that says, I think, sign up for essay workshop, I believe it says. Okay. All right. I can't wait to have you again next week. Same time, same place. Until then, wherever you are, may you have a happy and sunny day. Bye for now.
Thank you so much for listening this week to Destination University. Be sure to join Dr. Cynthia Colon again next Wednesday at 12 noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel, and get one step closer to your success. Are you ready to become the applicant every college wants to admit? Would you like to become the adult that models success? Then join the thousands of students, parents, and educators who have found the perfect solution. Dr. Cynthia Colon, author of Tips, Tales, and Truths for Teens, offers motivational and empowering workshops and keynote addresses for your school or organization. She fuels confidence in students on their road to university life. Cynthia coaches parents, educators, and professionals to model a success mindset for students. Go to drcynthiacolon.com to book her to speak, receive a free consultation, or have her as your personal coach. That's drcynthiacolon.com. Visit the site today.